State Representative Patrick Windhorst. Morning, Patrick. How are you, my friend?
Great, Tom. How are you today?
Good, good. First day of July. The House leader, floor leader for the Republicans is Patrick Windhorst. There are new laws that go into effect. Before we get to that, I guess we should mention the new tax goes into effect today for gasoline.
Well, that's right. As your listeners and you may remember, back in 2019, we passed the increase in the gas tax as part of that budget deal. There was an automatic annual inflationary increase that is included in the law. So this year, the increase will be about 2 cents. It'll go up to 47 cents a gallon for gasoline. That's a 3.5% increase. Of course, the purpose of this increase is to fund the road projects that are ongoing that were part of the infrastructure projects included with that budget deal in the Capitol bill. And that's what this tax is designed to cover. I did not support the increase in the gas tax when it was voted on in 19. I voted against that, but I think it's important for everyone to understand that this, the money in the gas tax does go to transportation, is included in the lockbox that is rebuilding and repaving our roads.
You know, in 2019, we weren't so enthralled with the inflation rate. It wasn't playing such an important role in the economy every day. And now you look back at that decision saying tying it to inflation. So whenever the consumer is getting kicked in the wallet harder than ever, we jump on top with gas tax unless some action's taken in Springfield. I think that's the important takeaway. And it's not just gas, it's diesel, too.
Exactly. And you raise a good point. It is tied to inflation, as you said, which is the last 2 or 3 years has been higher than it's been over the prior 20. You know, in an election year, there was an effort to eliminate that inflationary increase. In 2022, the governor led that effort to not have an inflationary increase. Of course, you know, cynically or skeptically saying, well, that was an election year, and we need to eliminate that increase going forward.
Okay. Who gets driver's license or who can get driver's license changes in the state of Illinois today. And with the DMVs closed, so it won't change too quick there. But the new law goes into effect today.
Yes, we've had a law on the books for a little while that allows for non-citizens to obtain driver's licenses. It's been on the books for many years. However, those driver's licenses had a special designation, a purple line, basically, that said this individual is not citizen. In fact, it said that TVDL, which was a temporary visitor driver's license. This law, which goes into effect today, is going to remove that purple line with the TVDL. So the driver's license for a non-citizen and a citizen will appear the same to most people looking at it. In fact, the way it looks is the same. Now, there are a couple things with that. We have also Real ID that's around the country. Individuals who are not citizens are not eligible for Real ID. So that if you have a Real ID, that would be a distinction.
Okay.
One of the big things we brought up in debate and an important point is, with this occurring, what checks exist in the Secretary of State's office to make sure that non-citizens aren't allowed to register to vote when they obtain their driver's license? We were assured by the Secretary of State's office and their representatives in committee and then debate on the floor that there are sufficient safeguards within the Secretary of State system to prevent that. That's something our side's going to be monitoring and watching as we move forward to make sure that there aren't any problems with the implementation of that system.
All right. Now, another issue, and I guess this is whatever's old, what was old is new again. And film stars back in the, 30s, 40s, you know, the child stars made a bunch of money. Mom and dad spent it all. It went into the 60s. The new, you know, item here when it comes to money is social media. So SB 1782 is protection for minors that are involved in social media. Now, this is my understanding from the money aspect. There's still plenty of other threats in social media for kids, but this involves just the money, correct?
Right. This is individuals who are social media influencers, as sometimes they're referred to. So these are minors who are involved in social media productions, making money, or being, more precisely, as it relates to this bill, people are using minors to make money. So if someone under 16 has their own social media account and they're making money, they're not impacted by this law. It's those who are putting young people in their social media productions and making money off the young people under 16. Sometimes it's also referred to as blogging, vlogging.
Blogging, right.
Yeah. And
whose job is it to oversee this?
Well, it's going to be Department of Labor who is going to have to oversee it ultimately, because there are rights of action that the minor and their family would have to exert these rights. But a portion of whatever money is made from the minors being involved in these productions has to be set aside, put into account to make sure that money's there for them when they are of age. There's also record keeping that has to go on the part of the person making these productions. And then, as you referenced, there's oversight from the state, potentially, if there's any issues.
All right. Now, I'm going to run out of time before I get to everything I want to get to, so I'm going to have to start cherry picking here a little bit. Beginning July 1, this was a big one when it came to the amount of money when I was looking at this in the original story about student loan repayment in the state of Illinois. We're not talking about federal money here. For social workers and counselors.
That's right. Now, there are some qualifications on that. These individuals have to work in areas that are in rural areas like ours or underserved areas that meet federal designations. So these individuals will be allowed to receive payment toward their student loan, not a complete forgiveness, but a payment toward their student loan for each year they work in underserved areas. So it's a little different than the federal program, which was a complete forgiveness or a partial forgiveness without any thing given back by the student.
Should we be using the word incentivizes rule of social?
Yes. And this is one area where, you know, us in Southern Illinois, rural areas have looked, how do we incentivize professionals to come to our area? This is one way we can do that. They give something, they come to our area and work. They're not getting it for free. They're working. And then they get this incentive, yes.
Okay. Now, the new Department of Early Childhood, which was just recently signed by the governor, after learning more about it, I'm seeing it in a new way. And if I'm wrong, I wish you'd correct me, Patrick Windhorst, state representative, joining us. I don't think of it so much more as a new department as they're taking a bunch of other departments from other areas that involve early childhood and repopulating a new department. So that will help on the bottom line, I'm hoping. Is that a misread on this law?
No, you're 100% right on what the intention of the law is. It's taking portions of the Department of Human Services, State Board of Education, and DCFS, all related to early childhood, and moving those programs and services under one department. So it's not siloed, number one, in those three separate ones, but also hopefully provides for better efficiency as those programs are instituted. One of the big ones that folks on our side of the aisle have been pushing for was removing daycare licensing and child care licensing out of DCFS. DCFS needs to be focused more on looking at investigations, abused and neglected minors. And this was an area we wanted to move outside of DCFS, and that will occur with this bill. It will be included in this new department. The concern some of our colleagues expressed on our side was it should be somewhat cost neutral, pretty well cost neutral, because the programs are just being transferred. But when you create a new department, is there going to be an expansion of government thereafter? So that uncertainty raised some concerns on our side.
And historically speaking, in Illinois, every reason to believe that, too. So
yes,
understand
exactly.
That. Even if it's not done by the people who originally did it, somebody will take advantage of that opportunity later. Now, the governor signed yesterday as part of Pride Month SB 2930, which requires nonprofits to publicly report the aggregated demographic information about the board of directors to reflect the diversity of the community they serve. And on Pride Day, I interpreted it through a filter that this involved sex, except now sex has a lot of different connotations depending on who you are. I wondered more about this bill because these are not-for-profits. Sometimes people I know do this. They don't get paid. They're out there doing the best they can, and now they want to know, and how much do they want to know? I don't know where that line is,
right,
Patrick?
Well, in the reporting, a couple notes. The reporting does include all demographic data, race, sex, sexual orientation, among other list.
Well, why would sexual orientation be required of anybody in the state of Illinois? Isn't that against the law?
Yes. Well, it's
federal?
Definitely. I feel like an invasion of privacy for people who don't want to disclose that. The law does put forward that if someone refuses to supply the information, there's no penalty, meaning the individual board member does not have to supply it, but it has to be requested of them, and they can refuse to supply it.
Okay.
Right now, this law only applies to those nonprofits that have greater than $1 million in grants, so it's supposed to apply to large nonprofits. But what you expressed was my concern and reason I voted no. I believe this is going to, in addition to the invasion of privacy aspects and other concerns that we've talked about, we're eventually going to see this move down to all nonprofits. And it's going to be one other area where we may be actually discouraging people from participating in nonprofit boards. And
well,
you know, nonprofits,
Patrick, I just got a note.
Service.
Note says, what about this? Will it apply churches, parachurch industry, synagogue boards?
Yep.
They're Illinois nonprofits, but we were saying, well, that's
correct.
Probably not 401c3, you know, nonprofits, and there's different kinds.
Well, some churches do receive 501c3 designation.
Okay.
They apply for that and get it. So, yes, that's a legitimate concern.
All right. Hey, we've got 30 seconds. Anything about new law, state of Illinois, you want to share that we didn't talk about today?
Well, the one thing that I think is important to note is there were hundreds of bills that passed this session that have an immediate effective date, meaning once the governor signs them, they go into law, and they are sitting on his desk awaiting signature. So while we look at July 1st as a date, in the next month or so, we will see more bills signed into law that will become effective immediately, and this list will be constantly updated, I guess is way to say it.
Right, and we'll be able to rely on you to help out. Hey, Patrick, really appreciate your time, especially this early Monday morning.